Age of Vision radio show with your host, Lonnie Clark. We stand together and accept that we now live in a world transformed by Fukushima. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time here on UCY.tv radio. We relentlessly engage every ear that listens. We expose and confront the complete lack of accountability for the nuclear industry. Consider social engineering programs who view our bodies, minds, and souls as assets on a balance sheet. We discuss vital current issues, interview activists, and engage our audience in an effort to allow all voices to be heard. The Age of Vision radio show creates a venue that all will choose. We encourage our listeners to reclaim their power and their courage to take action and save our planet from the ravages of greed and indifference. Our actions matter. Every voice matters. We remind our listeners that happiness is resistance. Love is greater than fear. Good morning, UCY.tv radio listeners. This is Lonnie Clark with the Age of Vision radio show. Thank you for joining us again today. Today is April 11th, 2017. It's 8 o'clock in the morning here on the West Coast. Once again, I really want to thank you for joining us and for sharing our station. Remember, you have to tell your friends that we're on the internet. They can't turn on their radio show yet. If we get enough support, we might be able to go that way, but you still have to go to the internet to find us. That's at www.ucy.tv/AOF. And that's for my listeners that are listening to this on podcast or on YouTube, where you can find us on UCY TV. Thanks for joining us. Today we have with us a returning friend of the show, Nancy Newell, who is an activist that I met. Frankly, an awesome activist, a person who actually role models to us all what it means to be an activist and to make a difference on the planet. So thank you, Nancy. Thank you for joining us again.
You're welcome.
Okay. So look, to everybody who's out there at the first saying that she's not speaking loud enough, this is about as good as we're going to get. So let's just do away with those conversations. Nancy's calling us on her phone. She doesn't have a Skype connection. And so this is just as good as it's going to get. She's going to attempt to talk as loud as possible into her phone when we speak. And just turn your volume up when Nancy speaks because her phone is low. So thanks, Nancy, for joining us.
Yes, you're very welcome. And it's a good day to talk to it for sure because there's so many people ignoring it.
Well, you know, it's really hard. This is one of the things I wanted to talk to you about, not just the nuts and bolts, but I really want to ask you how do you just keep on going on? Because it seems to me, as a person who's been doing this only a few years, that the circular firing squad is in well place. Like anti-nuke activists put each other down a lot. They always blow each other off and act like they're not doing the right thing and they're not doing enough or they're not doing the right thing. And I as a person who's been the subject of that, it's weary. So, you know, besides having to fight the nuclear industry, we have to fight our so-called allies. So how do you tolerate this? How long you've been doing this? Like a long time, 20 years, right?
Mm-hmm. At least.
Yeah. So how do you keep on? I mean, frankly, why is it taking us 20 years to get them to stop being stupid about this? It's pretty obvious that it's causing catastrophic harm. Why can't we get anywhere?
Well, first of all, they think it doesn't exist in the Northwest. They think that we took care of it all. The only thing that somewhat comes across their radar is the nuclear waste. And I think they've come to the conclusion, the public in general, that that is such a humongous problem. We haven't solved it. Why think about it? There's so much to worry about with global warming. And also the cost of living, just the mere existence on Earth, and also the suppression of the right to free speech. And then you have the media that's owned by the very corporations that like nuclear power. How are you going to get the information out? It's because of a few people that have terrific websites, keep things going, have excellent information, excellent response when there's an incident in the world like Fukushima. I mean, we'd never know the truth on Fukushima without those great people. And there are a lot of people that do work together. The most difficult thing in the Northwest is the climate solutions, and they don't want to talk about nuclear. They only talk about solving the global warming and gas problems, and they eliminate the nuclear and don't want to address it. So a lot of people have no idea that there's still an old nuclear plant operating about 100, over 100 miles from Portland, and it's so out of sight, out of mind, I guess.
Well, I don't know how you feel, but I personally believe that the whole thing about global warming really, frankly, has, I think Fukushima put us on Balco, but when you look at the models of when global warming started going off the charts, it was just about the time when the world started bombing the planet with nuclear radiation out in the Pacific Oceans. And I personally believe that this is an untested scientific study. Intuitively, I mean, I have to say it's just intuitive because it makes logical sense that all of that contamination that we spread, those trace elements that we spread into the ocean, trickle down to the bottom of the ocean and catastrophically began to harm, along with all the other contaminants we've been pouring into the ocean. So I think it's definitely a contributor to nuclear warming. I don't think it's warming up the oceans. I think it's what it's doing is killing the microscopic life in the oceans, which is killing the biology, speeding up the escape. I mean, global warming is nothing more than the methane escaping from the bottom of the earth, getting out into the atmosphere.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I think that,
yeah.
that it's done a lot of catastrophic harm at the bottom of the ocean that we don't even see. And it's not even really being considered because the people who own nuclear have a vested interest in, you know, I guess it's just pure manipulation of the masses. Like, just don't look here. I'm stunned at how really gullible. And I mean, I guess I should not be, Nancy, because that's how I was.
Well, you know, in Europe, yeah, go ahead.
No, you
well,
go, please.
They have a 4-day work week, and they do have time to think about these things and act on these things, and yet France is still pro-nuclear. So go figure that one out.
Well, I think France is pro-nuclear because of the pipes that they built out to the oceans, right? They spewing it out into the, I think, Irish Sea, right? They've brought their pipes underground and they're spewing, so nobody sees their nuclear waste. That's why they don't see it as an urgent. I mean, if they were piling up all the containers like we are in this country year after year, I mean, France has quite a lot. I mean, space-wise, there's a lot of nuclear power plants in France. It's unbelievable.
Well, and the socialist economy, we subsidize here. There won't be any nuclear industry without subsidizing with the federal tax dollars and guaranteed no risk, because we pay for any accident. The utilities don't. So, of course, there would be successes. But in spite of that, it's gone backwards. And people don't talk about purchasing U.S. equipment anymore. They didn't before Fukushima. And that just put the death knell in most of it. And I think that's a good sign. But I think why is it that one nuclear plant it's not easy to close after Fukushima when it's the same design. And it's all the public power interests that think they can't exist without it, or they like to brag it up. They love the stuff, and they are really hypnotized and mesmerized. To them, it's a badge of honor coming out of the Hanford Reservation disaster with all that nuclear waste that they don't even know what to do with it or where to put it.
From Hanford?
Yeah.
Right, not even from the nuclear power plants that's being generated. I mean, this has just been the biggest, most catastrophic, and frankly, the most effective lie I have ever seen perpetrated on the masses of the people. This is a true, they've won this propaganda war.
But in the meantime, people are dying. I mean, like this week, I was dumbfounded yesterday when I was on the show and I just Googled in how close is Namae to where they're moving people back in Japan. They're moving them back in and it's part of Fukushima Prefecture. They are 7 miles away from the nuclear power plant and they're moving families back into that city.
I can believe it.
How long do you think, Nancy, with your experience, do you know anything about how long you think it would cause them harm living that close to kids? How long do you think it'll actually affect the children?
Generations.
How quickly do you think they'll present themselves?
In objection to it, you mean? Oh, you mean
I mean, how quickly will the nuclear waste be apparent? You know what I mean? Like, how quickly will the children start becoming damaged? Because they're going to get damaged, right?
Yeah, they'll show evidence right away. When births start happening, you'll see malformations. Children's immune systems are shot. And if they're in that heavy dosage continuing, it's just endless. So it's not that they don't experience it. Yeah. And know that it's happening. Yeah.
Well, this is 2017. What's interesting is they're moving people back. I think, to be honest, you know why I think they're insisting on doing it? I thought about this. As I think they're doing it to sort of see what will happen before the Olympics. Because 3 years is enough time for people to start getting very ill from living that close. You know, they are planning, they're building an Olympic stadium in Fukushima Prefecture. They plan on having surfing and they plan on having baseball up there.
Oh, I had no idea about that.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. That's beyond even comprehending.
Oh, yeah. Libby Halevy from Nuclear Hot Seat reported that actually Toshiba sponsored a program to reclaim the wood from Fukushima Prefecture and build the stadium out of it. So the stadium is being built with wood reclaimed from Fukushima Prefecture.
Oh, my word. If that's not insanity, I don't know what is.
Well, this is what I say. I think that this was an experiment because now they have about 2.5 years before this before the Olympics. So if people are going to get sick, they'll see it very, very quickly within the next 2 years, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. And people won't show up. Who do they think is going to show up?
Well, people are being coerced into moving back, Nancy. You haven't followed this story. It's really, really horrendous emotionally. They have threatened the people of Namae City, the people that they're telling them to move back into Fukushima Prefecture. If they don't, they lose their housing and their sponsorship from TEPCO and the government that's been helping them. And some people actually have to pay back the money. If they don't move back in, they'll have to pay back the money for their housing to TEPCO.
Wow.
And they're cut off from all future assistance from the government. So people are moving back in sort of out of desperation. They don't have a place to live. They don't have a home. They don't have a place to go. Some of them are being threatened with having to repay their rent. And they're being told, hey, it's perfectly safe, so move. And they're also being told it's unpatriotic. So they're being ostracized, you know, socially if they don't move back home.
And they're also inviting people in to compete in sports.
Olympics. Did you not hear that? Yeah, no, they're having opening ceremonies in Fukushima Prefecture.
Well, I guess there's a reason that some of the competition is running around in circles.
Yeah. Well, I don't think actually, I think it's not going to happen. I think that it's not. I think that they're going to ask to be moved. I think between now and then, they're going to say, uh-uh.
Well, you know, and the people that propose it, are they going to get medical attention? Are the people going to rise up and insist they get medical attention? There's something wrong with their brains?
Well, could you imagine, Nancy? We know that cesium-137 affects the heart muscle and young athletes. We've already seen that up and down the coast on the West Coast. Young athletes are having heart attacks. So can you imagine these young athletes getting there, attempting to compete and practice months ahead of time? I'm just wondering how many of them are going to suffer a heart attack.
Oh boy.
It's
That is not
incomprehensible. But that's what this is what I mean. Like, how is it that the people they a rational person would not even permit that. So how is it that our elected officials have just been brainwashed into believing? It's to me, it's in, I'm not a nuclear scientist, and I'm really new to the anti-nuke fight, but it's incomprehensible to me.
Well, the people that promote nuclear power, that's United States is a huge part of it throughout the world. And they haven't stopped promoting it. And we still promote it in Corvallis, Oregon. And NuScale joins in with us from France. And they just as soon as Trump came in, they did a big promo up in the state of Washington, asking them to put funding on this new project, to have a place up there to do the research and get it going. And luckily, we were able to push that back. But it's just the huge, massive Westinghouse industry. They're bankrupt. They're just endlessly spewing lies, and the denials are over the top. But the people are pushing back quite a bit. I think that the control of the government in Japan, I can't imagine that government continually lasting. The people are so sick, they may not be able to rise up.
Well, I think that that's part of it. We've seen that happen in St. Louis. There are people who are just so sick, they just don't have the energy to go to the public meetings. Or when they go to the public meetings, they don't have the energy to fight back.
Well, and look what we've done with depleted uranium on our bombshells. The Middle East is now so radioactive as a result.
That is
You
not
what?
even being discussed either.
Yeah. I mean, what we are responsible for using this kind of technology is horrific. Has been before we started bombing the Middle East. And I don't know why we think the dropping of the nuclear bomb was the most courageous and wonderful thing we did in order to end the wars. And some people still think that. Even though there's been nuclear freezes, they've never stopped the testing. They've never stopped the possible use of it. So why is it that this generation, I think that they may get to that point, but they're so preoccupied with just surviving all over the planet with so many major incidents of weather happening. I think that is very difficult to get that process in place.
The whole conversation about the fact that nuclear is detrimental to life on our planet. I mean, I've actually argued with a health physicist that he insists that chemical contamination is far more immediately dangerous to human health than nuclear, because nuclear takes a long time to present itself. A small portion of the population will get immediate dangers, but essentially, it's a long term, like 10 to 15 to 20 years down the road, you get very sick. His position was that there is so much ongoing chemical pollution that the chemical pollution is actually immediately more life-threatening to life on our planet than the nuclear, because nuclear, we've kicked the can down far enough down the road that it's not going to harm us, but the immediate harm is chemical.
Yeah, well, that's the argument with climate solutions, global warming. We have to solve that immediately. And some people professed that nuclear power was going to help through this changing over to alternatives. Well, it's been proven totally wrong by Germany, and it's been proven totally wrong by California. Those are the leads. And California now is getting to the point where it's almost nuclear free, but we haven't built any nuclear plants. We haven't added to it. We killed off the industry. We killed off Westinghouse. So we've given our answer, and thank goodness that that finally came. But still, you're dealing with all these old ones that never go away. And why is that? It doesn't make any sense.
Well, that's the interesting thing. You'd think that they would attempt to figure out a way to safely store the waste so that we don't have this lag of people hating the industry once the truth comes out. You know what I mean? You'd think they would find a way to stave off. This is why I think my friend Thomas Ackerman says that he believes that this is an intentional extermination event. Like they know what they're doing. There's no way scientists cannot know what they're doing. It's incomprehensible.
Which one do you think is purposeful on their part? You mean from the very beginning? That it was
Yeah,
intent.
from the very intent. Yeah, I think it's they knew what they were doing. Once they realized, at least by the 60s, by the time Dr. Pauling and Dr. Goffman, Dr. Tamplin, they had done their studies. By the time they demonized him, the reason they demonized him is they knew exactly that they were telling the truth, and they saw such. At a greedy gut level. I think the greed is the no, I think with all these things, in fact, I just said that in an argument in a paper at school. All of these climate change things that we talk about, it's really astounding to me that they never discussed the motivation of greed in the factor. Greed is the number one primary factor of driving all of it.
Well, there's also the male ego is a big part of it. There's a book called Missile Envy, which I believe Dr. Caldicott wrote, and the fact that there was nuclear weapons race and the world was just going crazy with it. I mean, that whole ego attitude allows denial, power over a whole mindset that goes on for generations, the result. So that was a very critical aspect of it, and you couldn't even talk about it. You couldn't find out about it. You couldn't get the information. I know that from all the work we did on Long Island. People would not tell the truth or allow us to get into the files. We had to go through special groups, like, thank goodness, Nuclear Information Resource Service, NIRS, which is still very active. And then you get, like, a community in Hanford. This is their way of life. They've been put in a position where they live, where all that atomic waste from nuclear weapons and nuclear war is stored, and then some of the waste from nuclear power plants, and the whole community, practically, including the Catholics, who under Pope Francis don't speak up about no more nuclear weapons and nuclear power because they're acculturated to a death society and they defend it like crazy. So you get a continuation. And they say in Oregon, oh, we are very modern, advanced people. We came out with a small modular reactor. You put it under the earth, and it's going to do wonders. And you connect them. How great is that? Well, the earth is a dynamic. If it's not a dynamic today and you don't know it, you should reassign yourself to a different school. Those people that are coming out of the Corvallis School, Oregon State University, but they're still promoting. Now, how do you justify that kind of activity when we've got so many things we have to do in order to heal the problems and try to turn things around?
Well, I have talked to people there, and I've talked to young students there, and they actually believe that we have the solutions, that we're misinformed. In fact, one young lady told me she was told by her professor that France has a solution to the nuclear waste, unlike us. I'm like,
They
really,
do
what's
have,
that?
they like to create it. They don't regard it as waste. They don't tell the truth. They're
Right, they don't
brainwashed.
regard, that's their solution, Nancy. You hit it on the head. That's their solution. They don't regard it as waste.
Right. So that's why the town itself, I just visited, they called me in because they wanted me to speak on the project and how much renewables and energy efficiencies, I mean, we closed Trojan. We've proved it. I mean, Oregon should be patting itself on the back. We're not moving as fast as California, but we're moving pretty fast. And these students just want to keep everything around them as is. This is what they believe in, and that's what they're going to believe, just like a religious faith has gone down the wrong path. So I don't know how you turn it around, but certainly the governor put more money into it. Why would the governor, Kitzhaber, put more money into it when Governor Roberts was courageous to help close the Trojan nuclear plant and say, that's the end of nuclear power in this state? So what is the
Well,
difference there?
part of it is that they are being convinced by environmental groups that it's just not that harmful. I mean, our elected officials are being led astray. That's for sure. I mean,
That's true.
I mean, they have no, when you talk to them, one of the things that Donna Gilmore has impressed upon me is that there's no need to be angry at people that believe this. It's just that they are sorely misinformed. I mean, intentionally uninformed. The people that are making the decisions in the nuclear industry and in our government are not being told the facts. You know, so it's like this whole thing with Yucca Mountain. You know, I saw that Rick Perry is being sued along with the American government for not from the state of Texas for all the nuclear waste that's sitting in the state of Texas that's been trucked in there. I mean, the state of Texas has become a horrible wasteland, parts of it, because of nuclear waste. I mean, there is no part of our country that is untouched by nuclear waste. That's the dirty little secret. When this whole thing collapses and people see what this United States military has, and I view the nuclear industry to be the US military. I don't think it's a private industry. It's war profiteering, period. I mean,
That's right.
that's why they're dropping the depleted uranium weapons. You know,
Yeah, I mean, they even put it in food now. To
what?
make it look, they use depleted uranium in the treatment of vegetables to make them appear fresher longer. You know about that, right?
I no, I did not. I was aware that our eggs were irradiated, but all of our food is irradiated.
Well, I know for sure that vegetables, quite a few vegetables, yeah.
Really? Which ones? Which ones that you know of?
Primarily lettuces, things that wilt pretty fast.
Uh-huh.
Kale, any of the green leaves. But
So when we're
that's less.
buying like this organic food in the grocery store, it's all been irradiated.
No, I'm talking about the ones that are grown by the industries. Add that to it, besides all the awful fertilizers that they use.
Huh.
No, the organics, I mean, right now you've got so much radiation circling the Earth in the jet stream, it's hard to say that there isn't a nuclear impact, because there is. But
Yeah.
you're far better off with the cellular structures of the organic food. It's so much healthier for your body.
Nancy, remind us again how long you've been doing this.
Well,
'Cause you're very active, right?
1979, Three Mile Island exploded. It did melt down. People don't refer to it that way. At least half of it melted down. This has been well documented now. And ever since then, I've been doing it. And I've traveled all different places and helped different people. And I've had wonderful organizations. Thank you so much for Dr. Helen Caldicott, John Goffman, finding out about low-level radiation and reporting that accurately, and being courageous in their professions and testifying for us on Long Island, and Amory Lovins, who came up with the alternatives on energy efficiency. He said, "We don't need it. You can go to zero energy use out of nuclear easily." And he proved it. And he wrote his book, and we had it testified in the 70s, late 70s, on Long Island. It was very effective. And then, of course, they couldn't prove evacuation routes after Three Mile Island worked. People couldn't get out of there. So that worked as a way to fight the federal government, and our state in New York successfully fought the President of the United States and all the people that were going to force it, that it would open the Long Island Lightning Company Shoreham nuclear plant on the North Shore. And we never let it operate, but they low power tested it anyway illegally and brought the rods up illegally. We tried to stop it with people all the way from Florida, all the way up into New York, and we weren't able to stop it. So it was radiated as they took it down, and it's no longer in sight because they took the whole thing down. Governor Mario Cuomo stood up to it, and he won with his argument with FEMA. "No, we can't evacuate. Are you kidding? Long Island Expressway would be just a bunch of cars standing still." So they couldn't make that argument. They couldn't go to the Supreme Court, certainly. That's a very obvious thing. So luckily, some rationale came into the nuclear industry and what all their ideas and destruction was doing.
So why can't they use that argument to shut down Indian Point? Because they've already admitted at Indian Point there is no evacuation center. There's no evacuation plan at all.
Well, it's even worse today, but they have ignored those problems. Once they have an operating nuclear plant, they do everything to keep it going. And so they just ignore it. But the sun has been fighting it for years, and now it's more control from the federal level than there ever was. And that's why it's continuing.
Wow.
Con Edison, the company, there's such big impact on politics in the state of New York. The state of New York has answered with efficiencies and all kinds of alternatives and proven it in all kinds of testimony, but very difficult to get those closed. A lot of it is, it's important to the community because it creates so much work. Well, that's not the case. It creates a lot of health care work, certainly does that, and drains everybody's pockets constantly. I mean, that doesn't make any sense. That's a negative result of going into nuclear. You go into major debt and tragedies in families. What in the world are you talking about? The workers at Hanford just came out finally and started talking about how sick they were. And it's pretty incredible. They have not done that in all this time, and they are suing, and hopefully that will lead to shutdown as well quickly. But I tell you what, that even though it's public power, all those little utilities still refuse to shut it down.
It's almost impossible to get through to any of those people to try to talk to them to voice your opinion either. I mean, that's really the issue, is it's they make it so impossible for us to even have a voice at all. I mean, the nuclear industry is really one of the biggest scams I've ever seen. It's so pervasive, and yet they utilize people's anxiety and fear against each other. You know what I mean? This is why we have a lot of infighting in the anti-nuclear movement. There's a lot of like, well, you're not doing enough, and there's a lot of suspicion on who they allow in their organization and to get actively engaged. I mean, I'm really surprised the anti-nuclear movement has not done more outreach to the public. It's kind of shocking to me, I find. Like, there's just not that much outreach. I grew up with San Onofre thinking it was an observatory. And there were organizations out there working to stop it. So that's, I guess, you know, you've been doing this for almost 40 years. Like, you've really changed a lot of your life to fight this industry.
Yeah, absolutely. And well, but we've been successful because we have stopped them building new plants.
Well, hey, why don't you tell us what your successes were? Can you give us like a chronology of what you consider to be your successes to kind of give us some, I don't know, hope that maybe we can be effective?
Well, that's not one of my specialties of knowing time and how and when. But there were plans for adding, I know you know this, they were going to build 5 of those nuclear plants in the water system. And there was a whole group that came together in the public power entities and was led by Congressman DeFazio, and he said, "You've got to be kidding me." And so he succeeded in pulling out a whole group out of Eugene. So then we had an intellectual base for giving all the right arguments, and then it started collapsing. And the only problem is we're stuck with this one that's 32 years old. But that's been fought for years and years. But it's a culture because the military has created the culture with the nuclear weapons and the waste from the nuclear weapons, and people are resigned who live there, that's their only work, and they're going to defend themselves and pound their chest that they're doing it for the survival of America. And that whole cycle was created, and it's very difficult to even talk to people on the boards that are their 28 directors because they're elected in their own areas. Some of them are so small, those little public utilities. And there's a pride in it, mostly male, and they will not turn the corner when the whole world is telling them, "Hey, later for that, it's old, it's horrible, just get over it." So hopefully it will happen, but I cannot believe I'm still living somewhat too near a nuclear plant, and they impact miles and miles all around the globe. I mean, just their emissions from their smokestack. And these reports are accurate, and they get them every day. And they don't care. So I don't know how to explain that. I wouldn't have that capability to explain that. And the expense, they get subsidized. And they don't even look at it that way. So,
like Patty Murray of Washington, she spoke very eloquently about the value of Hanford and how beautiful it's been for our country and what a benefit it's been to her state because, you know, this is because it's a long term in perpetuity, they're going to have, you know, it's going to provide stability. Literally, her comment was that it's going to provide economic stability to the state of Washington for a long time.
Was that recent?
That was last about 8 or 9 months ago. You know, when it became a national monument?
I do.
She pushed
well, what
for
they got,
that.
You know, what have they got left with their pride?
Well, did you see that they're actually now going to conduct? I got a notice in my email the other day. They're going to be conducting tours of Hanford coming up in the spring, and they're reaching out to high school students and to schools up there, encouraging them to come for a tour of Hanford.
Well, I guess the nuclear industry is very worried. I mean, Westinghouse has gone bankrupt. So how do we get parts? But she has to promote this as an elected official, I guess. She thinks she won't get reelected if she doesn't. But, I can't put any rational basis for it. And it's been so proven, they could put up solar in Hanford and make a fortune. And they don't do it. So why not? And why don't people hold their feet to the table? Is it the global warming group?
Well, it's very difficult to get people to even take their shoes off. You know what I mean? Like, people don't even care. They really, honestly, you talk to any of your friends. I mean, how many of the friends that you have in your life that aren't activists are even willing? I mean, you probably know more people that you can't talk to this about than those that you can.
No, and it's sadder than that because they will cover up. I called the birth center in Hanford. This is the midwives, you know, the ones that really try to be doing natural childbirth, finding the problems with some of the modern medicine and women have given birth for so many years. And this is the center where a woman's health and the baby's health should be fully protected, hopefully. And they're pro-nuclear in Hanford. And they will fight you and defend you endlessly. They will not change their minds.
I mean, even at the birth center, they say they don't see that many increases in birth defects.
They don't talk about it.
Have you called them? What do they say when you call them?
Yeah, I did. I called them and asked them to join in the effort because Pope Francis, a lot of these people are of the Catholic faith. Pope Francis made it quite clear that nuclear is a huge mistake. There should not be any nuclear power or nuclear weapons on Earth. And he was very eloquent in his 2015 Ecclesiastical. So I called the Catholic churches up there, and I thought, well, this will be fairly easy. And they just ran away. They wouldn't answer the phone. Once they knew who I was, they wouldn't respond to the questions. And they go into their own enclaves in their community. And meanwhile, the city of, what's that one that begins with a K? It's right there, the Tri-Cities.
Getaway?
Yeah. Yeah, they are the largest growing city in the United States because of people being so unemployed. They're good enough, like the Japanese returning to they just promote it. They just come in and they work on the waste and they don't care if their kids get cancers or they're just flocking in. The whole community is just expanding. I think it's the fourth largest expanding city in the United States in rapidity of growth. How do you like that? So I don't know how to explain those kinds of things. I can understand people being desperate in certain parts of the country or the world, and that to me is understandable because radiation is not an immediate effect, and these people can put themselves in denial, but that's what's going on.
Well, Nancy, I know these are not normal questions that you have if someone's talking to you about your activities in the nuclear industry, but I'm really want to sort through this process of, A, why should we keep going on attempting to do this? Like, what's the value in it if we're getting nowhere doing it? That's why I asked you, like, talk about what your successes are.
Well, oh, you mean myself? Oh,
Uh-huh.
because we've had incredible results. I mean, how many is the biggest difficulty right now? And there aren't a whole lot of nuclear power plants left in the United States, too many. But if you consider what was up against us, and we didn't have any money. All we had was our own activities in our communities. There wasn't much coverage. We got our own coverage, and we overcame incredible odds. I mean, you're talking, they got up to almost $1 billion in expense on that Shoreham nuclear plant, and they proved how they lied, that it was only going to cost $200 million to build it and get it operating. So they killed themselves in many senses, and then Westinghouse going bankrupt. But now we have a president who put different people in the NRC, and there's no regulation. And now you have lack of parts and no regulation. That seems to me a given. And there's going to be far more things happening if people don't stand up in their communities and say, get rid of these things. We've got everything we need. Energy efficiency alone, as Amory Lovins has proved, throughout the United States will take care of all our needs for energy for the future, with a growing population. So that they can't make those arguments anymore. They do in Corvallis just because they're a money-making place, in Hanford because they're defensive about all the activities that they do. And, you know, it's just different communities for different reasons, but there's nothing new being built.
Well, but that's another one of my concerns. While there's nothing new being built, there doesn't seem to be any responsibility to go out and resolve the issues. Like we're still ignoring the abandoned uranium mines. We're still ignoring the nuke waste that's all over everywhere in our country. I
They
mean,
have no answers, and they lied about that they would have answers. We told them that in the 70s. There's no place to put the nuclear waste. You don't know. We have not yet figured out how to make it not harmful. Why are you making it? Stop making it. You want to prevent cancer? Don't run around in circles like they do in Portland and say, cure cancer? Why should we have cancer in the first place? Why should we create it? Stop
right.
making it. Why? So you've got a tremendous influence by, well, it's huge money. I mean, what we spend in foreign policy promoting nuclear is insane. So, yeah, I mean, change it. Do it. Get it done. President Carter started. So well, it stopped. I mean, he had solar plates. He had the fellow that runs the IEER out of Maryland, and he's one of the few whistleblowers, Arjun Makhachani. And they put out a book, Carbon Free, Nuclear Free, because of this whole rush to eliminate carbon by building nuclear. He wrote out a very good book. And I think you've got a copy. I think I got you one, right? But it's so convincing and so up to date on how easy it is to move on. So the waste treatments, you know, this is characteristic of guys. They don't want to take out the garbage. They don't want to deal with it. They just want to create the stuff. Very simple.
That's a pretty simplistic and sexist way to look at it, like guys. I'm going to defend the man on this one. I don't think that's the mentality. Honestly, that's the most hilarious thing I've heard. I'm sorry.
Well, that's what I said in Long Island in the 70s. I said, you guys don't want to deal with garbage. You deal with the garbage, then you can prove something to me. But you can't even deal with the garbage. What are you giving us here? It's very destructive. What is this? This is not responsibility.
Well, it is not being, that's really at the core of it all. But frankly, can you tell in my own questioning here is like I'm beginning to wonder. You've been doing it 40 years. I've been doing this now going on for 4 years, and I'm pretty much completely annoyed with it. Like I'm sick of, like it just feels like we're beating the bush. Like nothing really is getting done. Like we're not really winning the argument that they're going to do what they're going to do anyways. I mean, is there any point to really being an anti-nuke activist? Is there any real efforts that actually work? It feels like there is not.
Well, you know, transformation and what's happening in California, just put it in that mindset. That's what I did to last so long, is we have the answers. That is a very positive way of switching off and at least stopping the increase of it, the waste increase of it. And once you've done that and show people, we've stopped the industry, that the alternatives make so much more sense. So that's a tremendous accomplishment. Now we need the further attention to the waste and these few that are left. And with so many distractions today, I think that's part of the frustration, is there's so many huge issues throughout the world that people don't really they close their ears. They really have, their, especially in the United States, because we're responsible. How many people want to say we're responsible for the nuclear bombs and adding so much radioactive fallout to the atmosphere?
Right.
People don't want to say that.
And we
They'll
are, actually. Frankly, if and we're actually responsible for the complete disregard for the harm that of nuclear that nuclear causes, because the United States runs the show on that one. So everybody is following suit. The denial is the way that it goes. You know, the 90% rule is strictly enforced around the world. Underreport the negative effects by 90% and deny radiation causes harm. I guess that we just don't have a choice if you're going to be a humanitarian at all. I mean, I think that's just all there is to it. I think that we just don't have an option. That's kind of my feeling, is like, as a responsible adult, as much as I would love to just turn off the microphone and tell everybody to, you know, go screw off and I'm going to go hiking every day. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think we have that option anymore. I think we're getting to the point on our planet where it's extremely critical that we push back. Otherwise, we really will not have life. I mean, we're teetering on not having life on the planet as it is.
Yeah.
I mean, absolutely. Guy McPherson believes we're not going to have life on this planet. I don't know if you know of Guy McPherson. Years, there's just going to be no humans. His attitude is stop worrying about it. Go enjoy your life. Learn how to farm, take care of your family. Just forget it, because you're not going to be able to stop this tidal wave of destruction.
Well, look at what we've done to enslave our students so they can't really have time to think about it. Mainly they have only time to think about how the heck am I going to pay college expenses? How am I going to get a job? You know, there's a whole structure there too. So it's not just denial. It's their imminent survival, which humans are more prone to pay attention to that in the United States than they are to the big picture. They're not trained to. They're not taught about it in public schools anymore. I mean, I could
well,
probably
Well, even
settle.
Our own professors, you know, I'm a student at U of O, and I'm taking Introduction Environmental Politics. In environmental politics, at least they do mention nuclear waste. But in my other class, Democracy and Public Policy, there's no discussion about the harm that nuclear, I mean, the attitude, my professor actually had his best friend's dad, I guess, is from, his parents are from St. Louis. And his best friend's family, his mother and his father, both got catastrophic illnesses. The dad died from brain cancer.
Yeah.
And yet that's not enough to get people engaged. They're like, oh yeah, he's suffering from that nuclear waste problem they have there. Like,
yeah, we're
it's
kind of like
a distance, you know what I mean? It's an arm's length. It's like it's not really their problem because they're not living there, I guess. I don't get it.
Yeah, I hear you. Well, you know, I just thought of this. We're kind of like the canaries in the coal mine. We'll sing away about what the truth is, and either people are going to pay attention or not, but a lot of people got out, and that's very positive. The waste, though, is such a problem that frustrates everybody. We've got how many people that are volunteers on Hanford watch groups and all these things up at Hanford and can't get a grip on how do we deal with the waste. So, and they're very well meaning and they're trying their best, but it is overwhelming. We've created something that we never should have created in the first place by our actions. But people give up. People like to have more immediate results, especially in the United States.
Mm-hmm. Well, I do. I'll be honest. That's kind of where I've been. It's like doing this show, it's been a bit frustrating. You know, anti-nuke activists kind of blow me off. Their first question is, how many people hear you? And I'm like, I don't know. We're an internet radio show. That's really hard to track. You know what I'm saying? It's like It's super frustrating. They want immediate results. I personally want immediate results. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like 4 years is a short. I've been doing it a tenth of what you've been doing it. You know what I
Yeah.
mean? Like, you've been after it for over 40 years. I'm sick of doing it. I mean, it makes me angry. Like, it's really hard for me to find my center on this one because even my elected officials, their eyes just glaze over, right? I mean,
Yeah.
they don't even acknowledge it.
Yeah, I don't know what my nature is that I do things solo in situations where no one will speak up. There's a whole room full of environmentalists, policymakers, financial people, and I bring up points that they won't bring up. And either you're going to be within your own heart and soul that voice and be true to yourself and live your life that way, or I don't want to be the crowd that just goes into denial and plays the game. That to me would, I just would be like killing myself. So it's more a matter of the overall picture over those 40 years was a tremendous amount with all the odds against accomplished. They just don't cover the stories. Primarily, you've got great people that put out great books and show how difficult it is, but things get done. And I believe in that. And I believe that people do have a commonality of trying to make things better. But I think today is one of the most overwhelming eras that people are living. I really do. How about yourself? As far as all the different problems and where to turn.
Yeah, I agree with you completely. I think that you are completely right. It is over. And I think that's by design. You know, we're overwhelmed. We are overwhelmed by design so that they can really do whatever they want. I mean, it's the same mentality that got Trump elected, right? Like this whole idea of people were desperate for a change. They wanted somebody new. Now that he's in office, they're seeing that really he's not the maverick they thought he was. It's a captured audience in the White House. The United States military and the CIA control everything in our government. I mean, we've really had a silent coup around the world. The fascism is complete. And so it's like this for me, this whole thing about the Zika testing, I firmly believe that this Zika scare was planted by the nuclear industry. They place the blame on Zika when it's really uranium mining and nuclear waste poisoning that's causing these encephalitis babies to be born around the world. Because every time you see a Zika outbreak, put in the name of the town and put in uranium or nuclear right after it, and you will see that there's a uranium mine or some type of a power plant very close to where the babies are being born. But will anybody in the mainstream media or any scientists actually go after that train of thought and question it? The power is complete.
Well, I
But I
think that
get
there
what
are
you're saying, Nancy. I do get what you're saying, that it doesn't matter what they're doing. We have to determine what our actions are by our own moral compass, our own internal guides.
Yeah, it looked like Winona LaDuke. He was ran for president or vice president with Ralph Nader was running for president, and she was one of the first anti-nuclear lawyers in the country. Did you know that? She was trained at Harvard.
No.
Yeah, and she went back to her region there, her own place that their land is their land up in northern Minnesota, and they stopped the uranium mining. They didn't allow it. They never had it happen because of her efforts. She trained herself in a white school, white, very rich school. She got the scholarships and became such a wonderful person to talk about all these problems, and she proved it with her own reservation. I think it's called the White Pine Reservation in northern Minnesota, and that's the boundary water. You've got almost 10,000 miles of lake in that area. If you measure it out a certain way, it ends up extending that far, and it's incredible what she's accomplished. But those are nuggets of different people in different communities that have created what I guess we call a satellite in the United States to try to keep out some of these problems. And she's been one of the biggest success stories. So there definitely is something to look forward to. Definitely.
That makes sense as to why she's been demonized in the U.S. press, because Ladona Leduc has really been demonized in the press. You don't hardly ever see positive press about her. This is how complete the nuclear industry is, though. They have such complete power. I mean, they will do anything to get the. This is what I can't comprehend. I mean, you've been in meetings that. The level of depravity that the people that are making these decisions and the absolute fascist control they want over it. Like they want not a single. This is why up in Kennewick and up in Hanford, there's complete secrecy about it all. The complete denial. Like, don't talk about it. If you're talking about it, you're an enemy of the city.
Right. Well, I went up there for a Tri-Cities meeting on the plant, on the nuclear plant, and they lied to me at the library where it was being held and told me it wasn't being held. And I'd driven 3 hours to get up there, 3.5 hours,
Wow.
and then I saw the group that led it walk out. They had started it early without telling me, and there was a meeting.
Wow.
Yeah. So. I mean, they do all kinds of things, but it's only working against them. It just works against them. It really does. The thing that doesn't make sense is that the politicians rely on votes and keep it going, and then run for the cure. I mean, it's an act in absurdity. I'm sure that Patty Murray is probably running for the cure in one of those events.
Yeah,
So they pay
she
attention to the
has.
problem if it's unsolvable. And it is in a lot of ways, but there are also areas where we can solve it and stop doing these awful things. So, yeah. I
Wow.
watched them in Portland, and you know how many women turn out for that? And I always go up to them and I say, you know, in my literature, and I say, why don't you prevent it? And they look at me with puzzled eyes. They don't even know what that means. You know, except for now that latest thing is eating vegetables. But the actual industry? Oh, no. So, in that kind of habitual behavior, I think there has been a significant change in spite of that kind of public performance. But yeah, I think there's always something that will turn things, and you sometimes don't realize how effective it is because people that have seen me and seen the other people in the community that have done these wonderful things, then they can do it in their own communities back in Europe or other countries. And that's pretty amazing. So.
Well, you're an inspiration to me, I have to say, Nancy. I hope that you will come back on my show because you keep bolstering me up. I keep wanting to quit because I want immediate results. Like, and I'm sick of the negative. I mean, I'm a person who's pretty positive, and this is just like it's bad enough the nuclear stuff harms us, but there's just negativity all around on both sides of the fence, the anti-nuclear and the pro-nuclear people. Anybody who speaks a rational voice, both sides of the fence seem to demonize you. If you want immediate results, the anti-nukers look at you like you're being unrealistic. The pro-nukers
Yeah.
look at you like you just don't understand the facts. So it's frustrating. So, well, listen, we've got 30 seconds. I want to thank you for joining us. I hope you will come back with us soon. You've been listening to Nancy Newell, who's a really a great role model on and it being an anti-nuke activist. Nancy, I want to thank you very, very, very much.
Thank you for the opportunity, and I'm so glad that I'm still alive.
Me too. I'm glad you're so alive. And please put your courage feet on, you guys. Take some action, lean into it. We can stop this industry. We can do things correctly. And we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Hey, this is JJ Inc., and when I'm on planet